I don't know what it was. He's walking upright like a man.
Sightings in and around Vermont.
Bigfoot sightings across New England have been reported.
Red glowing eyes, about 7 feet tall.
Red eyes, big old fangs, claws coming out through. 3 inches long, you know, just sharp as they can be.
There has been another UFO sighting flying over the Royal Botanic Gardens. There are 500 UFO sightings in the world every month. The truth is out there.
So this is our, let me tweak my knob.
154.
But this is our Easter episode.
Oh yeah, this one actually comes out like the day after Easter. Did you like do the Easter Bunny or some shit?
My daughter is terrified of the Easter Bunny. She's still talking
That's fair.
It from daycare.
She's that, like...
She goes...
So did, like, the Easter
goes,
Bunny show
hop,
up?
Hop. Yeah, they had a guy in a costume show up, and they did a hunt.
They didn't have the actual Easter Bunny show up?
No, and she also hates candy, so it was a fun time for her.
So she's just living in hell, is what that means.
There was the Easter Bunny. She was terrified. She, I got all the eggs she picked up from her Easter egg hunt, and we opened them in the living room, and she just opened up an Easter egg and see a Hershey bar and go, oh, and just mope away.
Wow. Hershey bars are, like, the good ones you can get.
She doesn't eat candy. She's allergic to peanuts, so we, like, restrict what she can have for fun. So I had a spit bucket for her. So she'd open an Easter egg, pop a Skittles, and just spit it into the fucking gross bucket.
God damn it. To be fair, I mean, I guess there's worse things than not liking candy.
I have a 2-year-old who hates candy. I'm doing good.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Oh no. my Google Drive is just like exploding on me. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, this is very much a don't scroll down before the part type of episode.
So I made a post the other day, yesterday,
yeah.
And you saw it, Brandon, and it...
The Godzilla thing?
Yes. I need to say again, and this time with my own words,
okay.
I am so fucking mad about everyone on the internet who's talking about how Godzilla could be beat by the fucking birds from the movie Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, okay? Unacceptable.
It depends what system you're talking about or what.
No. Because if you have any system, if you have Godzilla in any system and he doesn't have, like, perfect regeneration, you are not properly emulating Godzilla in your system.
If you have Godzilla in a system and he doesn't have a weakness, it's a broken system.
No, because then it's not Godzilla.
There's everything. That's how they work. Everything's got to have a foil.
But it's fundamentally not Godzilla. Okay, tell me how you kill a Tarrasque right now. Tell me how you actually kill a Tarrasque.
What's a Tarrasque? Hang on. I know what it is, but I have to Google it.
It's the unkillable monster in D&D. You don't kill
There's
a Tarrasque.
There's no unkillable monster.
Well, it depends on the DM, but like... The fucking... Brandon. I'm so fucking mad. There's 0% chance that birds could kill Godzilla. His fucking...
It's Dex is 11.
The fucking Tarrasque?
Its strength and constitution is good, but it's got a Dex of 11, Intelligence 11, Wisdom 11, Charisma 11. So you can take it out. Like, it is foils.
Brandon.
It's not strength or constitution.
Have you... You don't know anything about the lore of the Tarrasque. It's literally unkillable.
I haven't fought a Tarrasque.
You rode on a Tarrasque.
I'm looking at its base stats.
You rode on a fucking Tarrasque. Brandon, he has legendary resistance. If a Tarrasque fails a saving throw, it can choose to succeed instead. magic resistance. The Tarrasque has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. Reflective Carapace. At any time a Tarrasque is targeted by a magic missile spell or a lion spell or a spell that requires a ranged attack roll, roll d6. On a 1, it's unaffected. On a 6, Tarrasque is unaffected, and the effect hits the caster. And that's not even including
I could find a creative... So I feel like the Tarrasque is a... You can, through a narrative, defeat a Tarrasque. Like, in a creative team method. Like, work together to kill it. It's a non-standard, like, you usually can't kill it. But, like, if the right team comes together and they're fun enough.
You know what that means? If you're... Okay, so here's the thing, Brandon. If you bring in the, like, if you bring in the rules lawyering of fucking D&D into the equation, right? So here's the thing, right? If you are saying, here are the rules of D&D, this is why 20,000 birds could kill Godzilla, right? If you say that, then you no longer can use the creative, like, world-building thing, because now you're being a rules asshole. And that's a very specific thing, right? So, like...
It's got three legendary actions. All right, hang on. This thing might be a bit of a bastard.
The Tarrasque is literally invincible. If it has even a subatomic particle that still exists, it can literally just, like, come back to life.
I could kill it. Give me enough time.
I wouldn't allow you to if I was the DM.
I could find a creative way to kill a Tarrasque.
And you called Tarrasque. Okay, so here's the thing. Tarrasque, I'm saying Tarrasque in reference to Godzilla, but, like, Godzilla is worse than the Tarrasque, okay? The Tarrasque doesn't have fucking atomic fire breath that can literally cook all of the fucking birds.
Everything's got a kill button.
I'm telling you, Godzilla canonically does not have a kill button, though. Even with the oxygen destroyer, his fucking bones survive the end of Godzilla 1954. And after those bones survive... What? Don't know what is.
Uh-oh. Is, I don't know, we chopped up for a minute. But there's a way to kill Godzilla. There's a way.
Brandon.
I don't know what it is, but there's
Brandon.
Everything has a... Because if you have...
I've done the,
like,
fucking research.
Being, There's a way to kill everything.
I did the fucking... Brandon, I have watched every Godzilla movie. You cannot kill Godzilla. Not credibly. The worst you can do...
But then what's the point of the movie? If you can't kill him, there's no point.
Because he's a force of nature. He's a metaphor, Brandon. Godzilla is a fucking metaphor. He's a metaphor for, like, the existence of nature, effectively. He's not killable. He can be defeated, but he is not killable. Okay? That's the important thing.
If you touch a tomato after you smoked a cigarette, it dies. Like, there's in their nature, Godzilla, it's tobacco. There's
no.
A way to defeat everything.
What are you fucking saying? I don't even understand what you're saying, Brandon. 20,000 birds would never kill Godzilla. All the birds
Godzilla's
on the planet
nature.
Would never kill Godzilla. Period. Not happening.
I'm not going to rehash what some guy from something I never saw said from a podcast or whatever, but approximately 40,000 birds.
It's from last podcast on the left, okay?
Yeah. So apparently 4,000 birds could kill Godzilla if they all read, like, had net 20s.
But no, they couldn't. I'm sorry, they couldn't. Godzilla's regenerative ability is too fucking fast, and the number of fucking birds that would have to be in that space is physically impossible. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
There's, what about Godzilla versus Deadpool? What about Godzilla versus Deadpool? Because I'm a bigger,
Godzilla comes out on top on that.
Guy, and I feel like...
Or they fuck.
How?
I don't know.
They're the same. They're the same guy.
They might just fuck at the end. I don't know, Brandon.
They might just... You know what? I like that.
I think they become... I think Godzilla and Deadpool become lovers. All right?
There's no defeating Godzilla. There's only becoming a long-term relationship with Godzilla.
And then that's really... That's just defeating Godzilla at the end of the day.
That's how you do it. Godzilla's fucking cooking you breakfast, and that's how you win.
Pretty much. That's the best you can do, period. Godzilla's unkillable. I'm just saying, Godzilla's unkillable, and he shouldn't have been beaten by the aliens, and he definitely shouldn't have been beaten by any birds. And that's all I'm going to fucking say.
I'll agree to that. And before I go into this episode, I'll give a disclaimer.
Yeah.
It's a different day than normal. It worked today and later than normal. My daughter went for a nap. We had some scheduling things. I had some tequila and Helldivers. Mm-hmm. And now we're recording. So it's going to be that kind of episode.
Oh, it totally is. And fucking you dropped in on me doing my self-harm exercise.
Your form of cutting is just Helldivers, and you unlocked Helldive Solo.
I did do that. That you came in dirt while I was doing it, and to say, oh, but Brandon was there. You didn't unlock it solo. Brandon didn't shoot fire a shot in anger during the entirety of his time.
I was playing with a different group of friends, and we're like, oh, we need to get someone to come in, so we invited you, and you weren't on the Discord, but they were like, oh, is he going to be fine? Like, is he going to be cool? I'm like, he solos this for fun.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're doing like a suicide or something. You know, and they're like, is this guy going to be cool? I'm like, don't fucking worry.
You know what's funny? When I unlocked Helldive, I was like, oh, good. Now I can play on an easier difficulty level. So I went down to 7. Yeah. So yes.
It's you're just a ridiculous person. I drop in, like I'll log in and play for one game and then log out, and I'll drop in. And when most people want to drop in, I'm like, this is fine for like an opening.
Yeah, because most people play at 5 at the highest.
Yeah, and I dropped in on you. In the middle of a game, like, oh, he's solo, I'll drop in, it'll be a fine opening game for the night. And I'm like, what fucking difficulty is this?
And I'm just like, oh yeah, no, this is difficulty. Because you know what, Brandon? You know what? If I don't feel pain while I'm playing that game, I'm not really playing that game.
You were soloing like an 8 or some shit. Like, I dropped in. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And you're like, oh, you're like, I just need some more of this kind of sample. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. I'm maxed out on Rex Lips. Like, I can't get any more Rex Lips. I've maxed out so much.
Oh, God. I'm still trying to max my stuff out. Anywho... Welcome to Cryptopedia, an exploration of the myths and legends that haunt the human mind, where each week we'll take you on a journey exploring the mysteries of the world, tackling the tales of monsters, folklore, the paranormal, and that thing that definitely lives under your bed. I'm Brandon.
I'm John. And there's definitely going to be another butt pun in this episode title, just to let you know. Because we've done stories relating to this subject 3 times. And every single time I put a butt pun in it.
It deserves it. Mm-hmm. So today I'd like to start with a little refresher on the Aswang. The Aswang is a creature from the Philippines, or rather a series of creatures, as it is a general term that is used to encompass several types of creatures, like the... I struggled with this.
You gotta, Brandon, you gotta put phonetic spellings next to these things.
I have to.
You have to do phonetics.
Mananangle.
Manana. Manana. Mananagal. Mananagal.
There's a
McGoggonal
thing.
It's the
I can't even pronounce that.
It's the fucking teacher from Harry Potter.
The Mananagal. Okay. They tend to be simplified in Western write-ups as vampires. And we did an episode on the Aswang. And if you'd like a more in-depth episode on this specific creature, go to episode 33. So I decided to revisit this topic, and I learned of a 100% real actual Aswang attack in 1950.
So was
Don't scroll ahead.
Was it like a dude dropping onto someone, like, and his taint landed on the person? Because then it's the ass and the wang, so it's an Aswang.
You know, you're not far off.
I'm not sure if I love that or I hate every moment of that.
It's worse.
Oh, good.
So in 1950, there were a group of people walking a trail along a mountain located in the mid-Philippines called Luzon.
Okay.
And while hiking, one of the members disappeared from the group. They went looking for him and eventually found him not too far from the last time they saw him. And they found his body, or should I say, he had two puncture marks on the side of his neck, and the body was completely drained of blood. And...
oh, God.
How do we know this actually happened, right? Because this is a... My version of this episode was a... we did this a long time ago in a folkloric sense, and this is a...
yeah.
In the real sense, did this happen? And yes, this did happen.
Brandon.
And how do we know this actually happened? The CIA!
Yeah, they 100% did. There's no question in my mind that they fucking did it.
Ed Lindsdale of the CIA has confirmed that it 100% happened.
Yeah, I can believe it, because they fucking, in the Vietnam War, the U.S. military rode on the fucking, like rivers and played the sounds of ghosts, quote-unquote ghosts, speaking in Vietnamese. There's,
I might touch on this later. I don't recall from when I wrote it, but yeah, they 100% did that.
We have done shit like that as, like, standard operating procedure, Brandon. We're terrible when it comes to manipulating people through their culture.
That's essentially the story. So
yes, clearly. I saw the picture of the dude, I saw CIA, and I was just like, oh, I know where this fucking thing is going.
Yeah,
we vampire, like, attacked people back in the 50s.
This is, listen, I was listening to, I forget which one, just a podcast, and someone just made a throwaway line, like, oh, and there's that time that the U.S. did vampire attacks. And they just shut up and, like, moved on to a different topic. And I was like, what the fuck? I never heard of this.
How do you non sequitur that? Like, in all honesty, how do you just, like, you have to follow it up at least with, like, a basic explanation? Because, like,
none. That was a throwaway line that, like, led me to this episode.
That's such a fucking nuts thing to just randomly say. And then just, like.
It was said like it's common knowledge, and I was like, what the fuck? I never heard about this. I have to go back in.
I'll say it's not common knowledge, but I will also say I'm not fucking surprised.
It's not surprising, but it's also like, how does no one know about this?
I know too much about people in positions of power to know, yeah, like, to question the fact that somebody would do something, like, nuts like this.
Yeah, So this is the hook that got me. We have to rewind quite a bit, because to get to the CIA confirmation of vampire attacks, there is quite a tangled tale we have to get through. So let's do some short and abbreviated, a super abbreviated history, starting in 1942. So the Philippines were taken over by Japan during 1942. Right, during World War II, Japan did what they occupying...
did, they did some bad things, we'll say.
They did some shit in 1942. And after, also with the U.S. team effort, we did some...
yeah.
minor genocides. Anyway.
I don't know if I'd call them minor.
No, not my third, not minor.
There's a lot of genocides in the 20th century. And like,
that time period, we're like, we don't like your genocide. We're going to genocide with our own folks over here. Mm-hmm. It'll be cool. Anyway, so during World War II, Japan did what occupying forces did and took resources from the Philippines in order to help their war effort.
Yep. I mean, because Japan has literally no natural resources.
Yeah, and if you don't know years, we're talking about World War II.
Yes. So one of my favorite things, Brandon.
Yeah.
There's like a meme back from, what was it, like 2010, somewhere around there, about like katanas cutting through like other swords and shit like that. My favorite thing about the katana is the katana is made the way it is because Japanese steel is literally so shitty that they have to fold it so it can hold enough of an edge to fucking cut. And as a result, it's crazy brittle.
There's a lot of, especially during this time period, propaganda that like milk's good for your bones, banana's good for your eyes, Japanese steel is better, German engineering is better. That's all just propaganda from this countries that works pretty fucking well because it's still going around today.
Also, it's not bananas, it's carrots. Because that was to hide radar.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Not bananas, carrots.
Yeah.
Sorry, bananas, I got confused with Chiquita banana.
What?
Chiquita banana.
Yeah.
They did the other CIA thing.
Oh, yeah.
We did too much tomfuckery that I'm getting our tomfuckery confused.
Because I don't want to do the thing that the person who did with the vampire attacks thing, the Chiquita banana thing, the reason it's called Banana Republic is because we established countries through the work of, like, through basically Chiquita banana, effectively, right?
The CIA used bananas to enslave people in the global south.
Yes.
And that's a whole thing.
Yes, and that's not the subject matter of this podcast, because there's no cryptids
involved.
That's
not the subject matter, but there's a fucking rabbit hole if you want to go down that. During the time of Japanese occupation, wealthy businessmen, politicians, etc., allied themselves with the Japanese. After Japanese occupation, the Philippines became a U.S. territory, and the U.S. placed the Japanese allied Filipino upper class in charge.
Of course.
Yeah. So the Huck, short for...
Huck Bala Hop.
I feel like if you say it with confidence...
People's Army against the Japanese.
Yeah, the Huck Bala Hop. They were like, hey man, how about maybe instead of being occupied by the U.S. or Japan, we are just... the Philippines, with Filipinos in charge. And by the way, they changed their name to the People's Liberation Army at some point after Japan left, so there's going to be a couple different terms thrown around if you're trying to look them up around this time period.
There's a lot. It's weird how many PLAs exist in the world that are liberation armies. And they're not all peoples. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. It's
the Palestinian Liberation Army, you know. We got PLAs all over the place. It's also a type of plastic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It smells good when it's printing. I like the smell of PLA, actually.
It does. I haven't used PLA yet, and I really want to because it's...
You've never printed with PLA?
No, I'm generally pure...
ABS.
Like, ABS or solvable filaments. I haven't done PLA yet because I want them to, like... Oh, God. I'm going to avoid the nerd tangent, but fucking... So ABS is a better, more durable plastic, but PLA is better for, like, accuracy.
Yeah.
So I tend to lean towards
more,
like...
brittle.
things that I can... Well, PLA is UV sensitive, so it's you don't want to keep up by windows or whatever. So I tend to lean towards ABS, even though it has many more flaws when printing.
Yeah.
It's more
toxic.
Sensitive to temperature. It's toxic. Well, it's on a different floor of my house.
That's true.
But when you're done with it, I can throw it against a wall or leave it on a table outside and it won't become brittle.
Fair enough.
So I lean towards like longevity versus immediate accuracy, even if that turns into like a few hours of customization. Anywho, depending where you look up, until 1950, the Huck had between 11 and 20,000 members.
That's a pretty wide discrepancy.
It's a wide gap. It's a very wide gap. I listed that because there's a lot of good reporting on it, but not accurate reporting on the numbers. Anywho, so at this point, the U.S. was like, well, you want to be an independent nation, but strategically, you're close to them commies, mm-hmm. and we can't have that. So we're going to have to ship over Eddie Lindsdale. This guy, by the way, while I didn't think he invented PSYOPs, he is a leading pioneer, in quotes, and wrote a book literally on them. And if you look him up on Wikipedia, he's the second sentence that contains played a significant role in suppressing the Hukbalap revolution in the Philippines. He did a lot of shit. He's part of, you know, they'll talk about, I don't know if I wrote about this later, but how they're like, oh, we tried to kill Castro like 100 fucking times and they all failed. He's that guy.
With the fucking Acme blow up fucking cigars and all that shit.
He's the CIA's idea man who's like, I'm Acme, I'm gonna like fucking exploding cigars.
I'm more of an ideas guy.
He's that guy. He's the ideas guy. And he's probably, it's the 50s.
He's a two-star general.
The whole time. So he also did a lot in Vietnam. He's the CIA's wacky ideas guy. Also, did I mention that a source from this is CIA.gov and a book called Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II, updated through 2003. So all of my sources from this are from the CIA's website, which is fucking fun.
What the fuck? Also, he was a major... He was a member of the Whiz Kids.
There's a lot of wild shit. This was a throwaway sentence from a podcast I heard, and I was like, holy shit.
Oh.
All of this is on the CIA.gov website.
They're
just fucking...
They're fucking game theory, folks. Ugh.
Yeah.
Fucking game theory.
So, just to make sure no one thinks is coming from a weird green text site, from the book, which is my primary source... As a former advertising man, Lindsdale was no stranger to the use of market research. Motivations, techniques, media, and deception. In CIA parlance, such arts fall under the heading of psychological warfare. To this end, Lindsdale fashioned a unit called the Civil Affairs Office. Its activities were based on the premise of both new and suspect to most American military officers. That a popular guerrilla army cannot be defeated by force alone, Lindsdale's team conducted a careful study of the superstitions of the Filipino peasants living in Hawk areas. Their lore, taboos, and myths were examined for clues to appropriate appeals that could wean them from supporting insurgents.
What the fuck?
This is gonna get fun.
Oh no!
So that's a loaded sentence, but he's the ideas man, and he's like, we're gonna study these people.
I'm more of an ideas guy myself. He probably talked like that.
I'm an ideas man. He's going to find the, he's going to hear like what locals think and then try to like twist that in order to, you know, defeat them in World War, pre-World War II, and then team up with the bad guys again after, whatever. In one operation, Lindsdale's men flew over these areas in a small plane hidden by cloud cover and broadcast in Tagalog, which is, you know, one of the many languages of the area. The Philippines, by the way, a huge... it's a huge... There's so many fucking islands. I don't have a number off the top of my head. It's a country that's just a fuck ton of islands, a really diverse language, a diverse people. It's one of the most interesting places that you could go or read about. Anywho, so he picked the most general language there could, flew a plane over it, and just had a plane calling curses on villagers who dared give the Hucks, in which case is people who just don't want to be fucked with. During World War II, they're like, don't fucking World War II us, we're cool. So he had a plane fly over with speakers blasting curses at them to not give the, like, anti-bad guys fucking food or shelter. The tactic reportedly succeeded into starving some Huck units into surrender.
What the fuck?
Something to keep in mind is that the Hucks came from, again, just people, farmers, and everyday folk who were tired of having foreign governments come in and steal the resources. They were a class that were already in poverty, and having what they did was being taken by outsiders. So they're not some, like, weird extremist revolutionary thing. They're just like, hey, man, I'm a farmer in the Philippines, and I don't want, like, some guy from Japan or some guy from the U.S. coming and taking all of my shit to, like, go do other stuff. Yeah, like, that's where that came from. Oh,
I want to be clear. I'm totally on the side of the Huck. Like, 300%.
They're literally just folks who are like, who the fuck are you and why are you here? Stop taking our shit.
Get the fuck out of here. We don't need you here.
Like, they were... I didn't get into, like, the amount of what was being taken in by who, but it was, it's essentially, like, some other guys showed up and were like, yo, we're taking just, like, all your stuff, and then if you don't, you're fucked. Like, and they're just, like, the Hucks were like, hey, maybe don't. They're the group of, like, hey, maybe
please,
don't.
Please no? Could you not?
Yeah, please just don't. They're the please don't. We want to keep growing our fucking shit and, like, you know, having barbecues or whatever.
I'd rather chill. Not even barbecues, Brandon. Not even barbecues. They're just trying to fucking survive.
Can we just chill? Can we just chill with you without you flying planes across an ocean to cast curses on us?
Why are we doing this? Huh?
Yeah.
What's?
Yeah. So anyway, Lindsdale regularly held coffee clutches with Filipino officials installed by the U.S. and formerly allied Japan, and military personnel, which new ideas were freely tossed back and forth. Out of this came the economic development core to Lower Hucks, with a program of resettlement of their own patch of farmland with tools, seeds, and etc. So they're like, hey, maybe we'll just... How about you just leave this fucking place and can live here? We'll resettle you. It's... They did a thing. They did the shitty thing. Anyway,
what are you talking about? This sounds perfectly above board to me.
It was an undertaking...
I hear nothing wrong. This all sounds good and not
so
shit.
It was an undertaking wholly inadequate. Yeah, it was totally fine. It was an undertaking wholly inadequate to the land problem. Like other Cywar tactics, Their principal goal was to steal from the enemy his most persuasive arguments. So they're just trying to take whatever. Among other tactics introduced or refined by Lindsay were the production of films and radio broadcasts to explain and justify government actions, infiltration of government agents into the ranks of the Hucks to provide information and sow disinformation. Attempts to modify the behavior of the government soldiers so as to curtail their abuse of the people in rural areas. For Hucks, they had an explicit code of proper conduct towards peasants.
Yeah.
Which they were like, don't fuck with the folks. Punishment was metered out, like, to violate. They're just like, don't, if you fuck with folks, we're going to beat you up. That was the whole, you're like, just don't mess with the locals. But on other occasions, government soldiers were allowed to run amok in villages disguised as Hucks. Another operation held by Lindsay and his team was a more mysterious one. The group worked to identify Huck sympathizers that were providing any amount of support for the fighters, which could have been like, you can sleep mm-hmm. here, we'll cook you dinner, whatever. Once identified, the group would work through the night to paint mysterious eyes on adjacent walls to the target homes. These were called the Eyes of God, right? So they would like,
yeah,
keep track of like whoever was like, hey, maybe don't, and then like whoever cooked them dinner, and just paint fucking eyes the wall outside of
also,
their house.
Also, I just want to take a moment. I want to take a moment to point out
like,
how much money was spent on this campaign, right? Like, think about that for a second, right? And
so
and
fucking
here's
much.
Thing, Brandon. Here's the thing. It's because they want to keep a presence in the region, right? So why the fuck don't you just put that money to like making, like why
it's
not put that money towards like making them be on your side and like working with them, right? Like,
yeah, and now, and they're just like waiting for them to fall asleep and then painting fucking eyeballs.
What a fucking
for so
choice.
Much money.
I just,
and this, by the way, like.
Yeah.
This is a real version of, like, a cryptid we covered in the past, but it caught me off guard, and, like, sometimes it's hard to, like, writing becomes difficult after a while because there's a lot of common themes, and this was a very much, like, holy shit, caught
it's
my interest.
It's not normal for us, but
like,
whatever.
Sorry, this isn't, like, oh no, this, here's this weird skunk. And now it's racist. Like, that's usually how these go. And this just caught my attention.
Yeah, this one started out as racist from the get-go.
From the get-go. But it ties in again to episode 33. And if this is very much a focus on there's the folklore, the cryptid, and then there's the period of time around it, because they're all time capsules, and this is very much focused on the time capsule around these 2 years, around this one specific
I'm just
thing.
Stunned
that
like this is so much work, like this is so much fucking effort just to fuck with people.
It's so much. It's a lot of work. so anyway, this brings us to vampires. Again, from Lindsay, he wrote this in a book. By the book from the CIA's website. This is what he says.
So he was proud of this, which also is another whole nother. That's like a whole nother thing. Because like when you think about it, right? Like he's murdering people.
So again, like his Bugs Bunny exploding Acme cigar didn't work on Castro, and this one actually got a guy. So like this is his one win. So a combat Psywar squad was brought in. It planted stories among town residents of an Aswang living on the hill where the Hucks were based. Two nights later, after giving the stories time to make their way up to the hill camp, the Psywar squad set up an ambush along the trail used by the Hucks. When a Huck patrol came along the trail, the ambushers silently snatched the last man in the patrol. Again, like, this is very, like, a weird James Bond, Bugs Bunny thing, but they did it, which I didn't think this was going to be a thing, but they did it. So they snatched the last guy from the patrol, and they punctured his neck with two holes, vampire fashion, held the body up by the heels, drained it of all the blood, and put the corpse back on the trail.
What the fuck?
When the party returned, I didn't think that that last one sentence was the wildest thing in this whole thing, because I didn't think that you could do that.
I mean, that's how people, that's how people drain deer. So, like,
that's how they do deer, but deer aren't, like, in a group of five other dudes that are, like, like, if I'm hiking through woods with a dude, I'm usually looking in the back to see if they're still there. Anyway, when the Hucks returned to look for the missing man, they found his bloodless comrade. Every member of the patrol believed that the Aswang had got him, and that one of them would be next if they remained on the hill.
Is this then, really the hill you want to die on?
Is this the hill you want? Well, I mean, it was. It was literally the hill they died on.
It was the hill that man died on, at least.
Yes. When daylight came, the whole Huck squadron moved out of the vicinity. And I'd like to point out that one source stated that the whole eyes thing was more effective than the murder of a random guy in the woods thing.
Really?
Yeah, meaning like the painting of eyes on the wall got more of the people they wanted to leave than the stab a guy in the throat thing.
What the fuck?
Like the whole thing was less effective than their like
weird
go to Home Depot and get a rattle can thing.
It's effectively the no-no can. No.
It's a jar of pennies.
No. Bad.
It was far more effective than...
What the fuck?
Just hanging a guy like a deer.
What a fucking nightmare, literally.
It is. It's a nightmare. Also, I'll acknowledge this is a shorter episode because I had a shorter one banked. And,
yeah.
Well, at Sherwin Bank, it's a different day, and we had scheduling issues, or
oh, God.
Trying to put the... But I had to do this, and I really did want to do this today, even though it's not Easter-related. I couldn't not do this.
Brandon, I just saw the fucking New York Times, Brandon.
Oh, wait.
I read ahead
Hang
a little
on.
Bit. Like... In this thing, in what we're doing right now, the New York Times says something, and I'm just like, what the fuck? This gets somehow worse to me.
It does. So, there's... Oh God! I lost my spot.
You're on the. Here's the craziest thing I think I will say.
Oh yeah, so there we have it. The CIA executed people and staged the bodies to convince locals that vampires were lurking on a mountain for political reasons.
I didn't know vampires were so political.
They very much are.
I mean, and they are like on, they're explicitly political because like if you look at the trends of what monsters are most popular, it's kind of tied to whoever's currently in office.
Well, yeah. There was a whole political official deal thing going on with the U.S. trying to install a puppet. Lindsdale...
And that's how we have Duarte
invented,
now. Mr. Kill
Magusay
Person
say,
for Weed.
Yeah. So he... Oh, by the way, like, the noodle's going to bed soon. So if you hear baby sounds, that's her.
Okay.
Magusay say, so... His CIA front organizations, such as the National Movement for Free Elections, ran the Filipinos campaign with all the license, impunity, and money that one would expect from the Democratic or
Republican National Convention.
It's
Democrats and basically U.S. Democrats
it's
and Republicans.
Joint.
Is what you're
it's
saying.
Everyone digs it.
Yeah.
Operating in the U.S. or perhaps more to the point, Mayor Daley operating in Chicago.
Huh.
Yet the New York Times, in an editorial...
Deep cut there, Brandon.
...was removed to refer to the real Philippines as democracy's showcase in Asia.
That's the sentence, by the way, that got me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our vampire game was our shining jewel. Mm-hmm. The CIA, on one occasion, drugged the drinks of Magsaysay's opponent and incumbent, President Elpidio Quirino, before he gave a speech so that he would appear incoherent. Something we don't have to do with any of our presidents.
None of them. None of them. They just do that themselves. Them. And it's not a problem, which is the fucking weirdest thing.
Yeah. On another occasion, when Magsaysay insisted on delivering a speech which had been written by Filipino instead of written by one of Lindsdale's team, Lindsdale reacted in rage, finally hitting the presidential candidate so hard that he knocked him out.
What the fuck?
So Magsaysay won the election, but not before the CIA had smuggled in guns for the use of a coup in case their man lost.
What the fuck?
Once Magsaysay was in office, the CIA wrote his speeches, carefully guided his foreign policy, and used its press assets, which were paid editors and journalists, to provide him with a consistent claque of support of his domestic programs and his involvement in the U.S.-directed anti-communist crusade in South Asia, as well as to attack anti-U.S. newspaper columnists.
What the fuck?
Here's a brief intermission while I make my daughter some dino nuggies. Here we are. So beholden was Magsaysay, the United States, disclosed presidential assistant Sherman Adams that he sent word to Eisenhower
what
would do anything the U.S. wanted him to do, even though his own foreign minister took opposite views.
No, he's a piece of shit. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, that man is a piece of fucking shit.
It's, yeah. So, oh no, he is. So, Senator Claro M. Recto, Magsaysay's chief political opponent and a stern critic of American policy in the Philippines, came in for special treatment. The CIA planted stories that he was a communist Chinese agent, and it prepared packages of condoms labeled "Courtesy of Claro M. Recto and the People's Friend." The condoms all had holes in the most inappropriate. They delivered
what a fucking insane thing.
Faulty, obvious faulty condoms.
Does that actually work? By the way,
it was a smear campaign.
I guess it does, because it's happened enough times that, like, it must work on a certain percentage of folks. And I guess at the end of the day, the people you're trying to get are the people who are, like, in the middle. And it's just that little tiny push.
It's a wild one. And that's the episode, by the way. This one was a little short at 9 pages. But when I came across it, it was the wildest thing I'd found for a while. I couldn't not do something on it.
Which we've talked about.
It seemed so wild that there were sources from all over, including the CIA, books, newspapers. So I couldn't help myself to do something on it. Lindsdale moved on, by the way, to Saigon, Vietnam, before the U.S. did. Don't tell
them. 100%. I mean, he's a fucking CIA spook. So, like, that's what he does. Yeah.
And again, he carried out more of the same, this time using ghosts in the woods to move.
to try to move fucking Catholics from the
north to the south, which
he's
spoke about at the top.
Deeply, deeply troubling individual.
Yeah. He is. After this, he went back to the U.S. and had a rather big falling out with GFK and his operators versus Lindale's versions. While I don't entertain conspiracy theories, if this seems like a rabbit hole that you personally want to dive into, go ahead. So he was doing stuff in Vietnam before the U.S. was like, we're in Vietnam. Him in Dealey Plaza.
Have I talked about on the podcast about my encounter in Dealey Plaza that I had years ago?
No, you haven't.
So Dealey Plaza's in Dallas, right? Yeah. And I'm not like losing my brain. Okay, cool. So we were in Dallas for a BotCon one year.
Yeah.
Because of course. Most of the traveling I've done has been for Transformers conventions. Just a fact. Anywho. So we went to Dealey Plaza because it's like, well, we're in Dallas. We might as well walk there. And our hotel wasn't that far away.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to see photographs of JFK's brains out of his body.
Oh, God.
You just have to go to Dealey Plaza.
Yeah.
Because dudes will just show you the photos. It'll just, like unsolicited.
Oh,
they come
God.
Up to you and are like, look at all these pictures I've got of JFK.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, thanks. I will say I like personally the theory of I actually like last podcast on the left's theory the best.
Yeah.
In terms of what happened, the Oswald shot. He was a lone actor.
Mm-hmm.
He did shoot, but he missed, and it freaked out a Secret Service member.
Oh, God.
Who had hollow point bullets. Because the injury was consistent with hollow point ammunition,
yeah.
Right? And he accidentally shot JFK because, like, he freaked out. And then they covered that up because that's the cover up, not like a plan, but like if a Secret Service officer killed JFK, that would be like a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't believe in, like, the whole, like, grand conspiracy to kill him, but I think that that's actually a pretty reasonable explanation for, like, why the bullet trajectories are weird.
I'll believe a guy fucked up over grand conspiracy.
Yes. No, I 100%. Because also, a guy fucked up, you only need a few people to know that fact.
Yeah.
You don't need, like, a crazy number of people to know that fact. A dude fucking up is you just have to have, like, maybe five people keep quiet.
Yeah. That's, I don't recall that, but that's far more plausible than, like,
I think
a guy went oops.
That's the one, like, quote-unquote conspiracy I entertain.
Yeah.
Because it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? You have a bunch of trigger-happy yokel. You have a bunch of trigger-happy Secret Service agents who are, for some reason, carrying weapons with hollow points in them.
There's, like, you don't want them to go through walls. You...
Yeah, but, like, oh, they're so not good.
No.
I think maybe guns are bad, guys. This might be a controversial opinion. But guns might not be good. They might not be in our best interests.
They might be. Maybe they're not great in parades.
Yeah. Wow, he got to live way too late. 79?
Who's it? The guy that shot Reagan just fucking got out and had like a music thing that was canceled?
He was doing a service for the world, to be totally honest.
He was, but it's just wild. I'm like, oh shit, the guy that shot Reagan just had his fucking concert fucking canceled.
This is going to be a controversial thing that I'm about to say. But I'm mad at him because he didn't succeed. On the plus side, we got the Brady Bill out of it.
I have
slightly
like
improved
far
things.
Right friends that hate Reagan because they're like, because of Reagan,
he's not far right enough.
No, they're like, because of Reagan, now like the average family can't afford whatever, so now there's women in the workplace, so they hate Reagan because there's women in the workplace. I'm like, that's a wild idea, but like, we can both not like people together for different reasons.
Yeah, it's pretty great. That happens a lot, where it's just like, I hate this person. Yeah, I hate this person too. Why do you hate this person? Oh, because they didn't go far enough. Or, oh, because this thing happened that they did.
Yeah.
And it's like, That's the wrong reason, but okay.
Yeah, like, we can, I'm down to mutually clown this person together with you. We might do it for different reasons. I'm cool with my wife working with me. But we can both dislike
fucking
this guy.
Women in the workplace. Fucking whatever. Sometimes I'll like, so there was something that happened recently. I'm like, why is that a big deal? Like, why does that have any bearing on anything? Yeah. And it was like some racist thing. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like, people like give a shit about all of that, which is just like, whatever. Anywho, that's the podcast. And I hear noises, and I have the feeling that your wife would probably like help. So let's close this shit out.
She's trying to give the kid some noodle, well, some chicken nuggets.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's wrap this so you can go and help with the chicken nugget situation.
Do that.
So, as always, the podcast has been CryptopediaCast. We're CryptopediaCast.com. Instagram is at CryptopediaCast. So is our other thing. Email us at CryptopediaCast@gmail.com or us at CryptopediaCast.com. Probably do the CryptopediaCast@gmail.com because I was looking into it and the forwarding on the website is like buggy. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So just do that. Then YouTube is at Cryptopedia. I'll upload stuff eventually. I got everything working again. We have a Patreon that keeps the lights on, and we got Jackalopes, Clay Sinclair, Marty Von Party, Bird Schneider, Jonathan Shepard, Matthew Smith, Will Smith, Lenwood Sharp, and Bushcraft Kelso. We have a Discord where I post rants about Godzilla. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. And if you have any monster requests or stories, send them in. And when I say stories, I just realized we've said that for so long. I mean, like, your own stories. We did have that one guy who
said
something.
Oh, yeah. We had that guy. I don't know if that guy's
and
still
like,
around. He might be.
He left. But he fundamentally didn't comprehend what would be, like, how our response would be.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
And it wasn't even our response. It was people in the Discord who are like, so have you considered that maybe it's this?
Yeah, it's just, hey, we need more information. That's all it was. It was someone seeking.
He didn't love it.
They wanted confirmation, and they were just greeted by a bunch of people like, do you have more information for us, maybe?
Because this is not enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, like, that's welcome. Like, no one was mean or whatever.
No,
it's just,
you're allowed to talk about shit that happened to you.
Yeah,
or
so, like, come in, share your pictures, and people will be like, do you have more information? And just be like, yes, I got more, or like, no, or what. It'll
don't expect
we'll have
people
a fun
to believe
conversation.
You. Don't expect people to believe you without, like, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. That's
oh,
just
yeah.
the long and short of it.
Extraordinary claims, extraordinary evidence, but also,
We've got the James Randi school of thought going.
We've got that. Also, heavily curious, so just keep sharing stuff. We'll keep asking questions, keep sharing stuff. No one's gonna shit on you. Anywho,
I might shit on you, but that's only if you're, like, clearly faking things.
Oh, yeah, but also come in with clearly fake things, too, because I want that.
Yes, if you come in, not that you created, though.
Yeah.
Because that's cheating.
You can find me on Instagram at donkey_hands. My website is boyerb.com. My email is brandon@cryptopediacast.com or on Twitter at cryptobrandon.
I'm on Instagram at mew2057. I got a cat. Dakota, do you want to speak?
Please. Dakota hasn't meowed in 20 years.
He just meowed at me.
He hasn't meowed since that tooth came out.
That was a long time ago.
He's a sharp boy. That's the sharpest cat I've ever met, by the way.
I love him.
He's so sharp.
Little buddy. He's my little buddy. He's sweet to me. He lays on me. On Twitter, I'm at JF Dunham. My website's johndunhamgames.com, and my email is john@cryptopediacast.com.
Our art was done by Tom Hill. You could find him on Instagram at Thomas Micus Hill. Thomas Michael Hill. His website is greatergloryco.com or tommikehill.com, and his email is tommikehill@gmail.com.
As always, I'm John.
I'm Brandon.
And things are gonna get weird.